Leviticus 18. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your holy word, we pray your blessing that, we really want you to speak to our hearts. And I think this book is about what's holy and what's not holy. And I want you to, I always want to be able to make those determinations. And I don't do it in my own wit and wisdom. I do it through the word of God. And I pray that as many as listen to this, Lord, would understand that. That's how we make our decisions about right and wrong, through your holy word. So blessed to that end, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 18, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. I always think is, I get to say what? I'm the master, Lord, right? I'm God. I know things you don't know. You know, today's study in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I think this will work. Well, that's not what the Bible says. So we do what the Bible says. That's what faith looks like. And God gets to call the shots. After the doings of the land of Egypt, when you dwelt, shall ye not do. After the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. There's a way to do it, and there's a way that we don't do it. Egypt doesn't know. Canaan doesn't know. God knows. And there's a coming out and going in here that, I always like to quote, come out from among them, what? And be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you, saith the Lord. There's definitely a leaving Egypt. And I think Christians, we do that. Yeah, this is a good deal. Salvation. God will never bring up our sins. Oh, wait, he has a claim on my life? Well, that's a little bit, that's a big ask. He's not asking, he's commanding. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. He offers that for a reason. And it's reasonable. We're bought with a price, right? Verse 5, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, not only because I said so, because this is the way to life. You can't live life against life successfully for a long time. It doesn't loan itself to longevity. And so he gives another reason. I'm the Lord your God. I get to call the shots. But if you do it my way, he shall live in them. And he's given us the idea of life. And now, this next part is all about sex. Now, the Holy Spirit of God put it in the Bible, and it's all obviously worth. It's not my favorite stuff to talk about, but we'll be. I'll put on my big boy pants, and we'll press on, right? The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. It's more than just peeking through a keyhole. Uncover her nakedness means having relations, okay? The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Now, when in Genesis, when Ham uncovers his father's nakedness, does that mean he has relationships with his mother? Because thy father's it could mean like don't uncover her nakedness because it's her nakedness. Here he's talking about his father's wife. Look at that, the nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover, it is thy father's nakedness. Anyway, the idea is like it belongs to your dad. Don't mess around with in that. You think, well, who would have to write that? God doesn't write unnecessary commandments. And we see in the New Testament, and I know these things aren't pleasant to think about, but we have to confront them. So in Corinth, there's a guy, and he's sleeping with his father's wife. Is it his mother? Probably more his stepmother, but still, it's an illicit relationship. And Corinth is all puffed up about it, like, yeah, we're pretty progressive and anything goes here, and we don't get into a big worry, situation about little things like that. It's just sex, biological function. I mean, come on, let's not get all worked up. I think the Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century in America is very much the same thing. And we say it's okay and things that right here in this chapter, God will say, no, no, that's not okay. It's not that you're progressive, you're Bible illiterate, and you're disobedient. Let's keep moving. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she is born at home or abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Now, isn't the nakedness of your sister both your father and your mother's? No, it could be either one, because there's steps and halves and all this stuff. And, you know, in, even that day there was, but there was also like blended families. There was divorce, and there was, you know, death and remarriage. And I don't care if she's, well, she's not any blood relation to me. She's my, you know, stepmother's daughter. So, no. No. He all the things are prohibitions. He doesn't go, he makes it narrow. How about this? How about this for an idea? One spouse for life and live happily ever after. Now, that's a good idea. I don't know. I just thought of it. Maybe that's, and everything else is a prohibition. And you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't. Why? Because people are, you know what it comes down to in America? You know what it always comes down to?
Well, don't look, tell me who I can and can't sleep with.
Whether they say it or not, that's what it's always about. There's no God because I don't want there to be a God, because I want to sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. That's the whole thing. In a nutshell, that's just the way it is. And here he say, no, I don't care if she's a stepsister, I don't care if she's a full sister, that's no good. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, that would be your granddaughter. Again, should that have to be written down? The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover. For theirs is thine own nakedness. Figure it out, knucklehead. I'm sorry, it doesn't say that. Someone will be listening to this and they'll think, well, does the Bible say knucklehead? The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Okay, that would be your aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. That would be your aunt also. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother, thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Now you think that would go without saying, but we read in the book of Genesis where that actually happens with a man named Judah. What a terrible sin that was. Well, he thought he was just hiring a prostitute. That makes it much better, right? Factor in the sarcasm there, by the way. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. This would, the Levirate marriage, this would leave that out. Later on when he talks about the Levirate marriage. Okay, if your brother has married and he doesn't leave any offspring only, you have to go in unto her who was your brother's wife, raise up offspring for the purpose of the, you know, the land, because it goes through the male inheritance, and your brother, you don't want him to lose out on, you know. So there's, other than that, ostensibly, this you don't do this because your brother's still alive, right? Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. So all the details are there. You marry a mom and daughter combo, that is absolutely unacceptable, and the Bible says it as much. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. So, you know, can you marry your wife's sister? Well, if your wife died, but and that's where it says not in her lifetime, but can you marry sisters? You got two wives and they're both married to, they're sisters. No. We say, what about Jacob? Well, one, this already happened. Jacob already happened, but I have to believe that was a very, very unhappy home. He's got two sisters who are at each other's throats. And you know how close sisters can be. If you have a sister who's, you really, really love, that's a special relationship. Now you've got two sisters fighting over the same husband. I can't imagine those sisters were ever very close after the marriage. And then he has two concubines beside. I have to believe that was just mayhem. And we read that. We saw that. I don't think there was ever any happiness there. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she had put apart for her uncleanness. Okay? We ran into that earlier, and now he underlines it here. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Why? That's not a genetic close. It's called adultery. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. What is that pass, thy seed pass through the fire to Molech? That's the child sacrifice that we've talked about when we were in studying in Kings. Canaanites had a very nasty practice of offering their children to this god Molech. And God says, do not do that. You'd think that you wouldn't have to. Okay, women, is this a necessary commandment in the idea that, boy, I really want to offer my children to a make-believe God. I'm really glad this is here because I always have this, you know, this constant yearning in my heart. But you'd think this, with womanhood being the way it is, it wouldn't have to be written. Apparently it did. Apparently it happened. You can get so corrupt in your thinking that you'll think that my God will bless me if I give my child. The God of the Bible doesn't want this. He will give his son on our behalf. He doesn't want our child sacrifice. It doesn't bless him. It won't incur favor with him. And it's so unnecessary. He loves us anyway without us offering our children. Again, these things you think they wouldn't have to be said. But it happens. It happens. And still people who sacrifice their children say, well, on a fiery altar that where the child is immolated? No, we sacrifice our children for our own pleasure, for our own wants, our own desires. You know, I never spent any time with my kids. I was, you know, too busy. I was at the office trying to earn my second, my third, my fourth, and my fifth million by the time I was 30 that I didn't have any time for my children. Well, I'm still working on my first million. And at this point in my life, it looks kind of doubtful. But besides all that, but there's people who do that. And it's not like, you know, I'm aiming to sacrifice the relationship with my child, but that's the outcome of it, isn't it? Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. No same-sex relationships, physical relationships. Well, that's Old Testament, correct? In the New Testament, God totally thinks it's okay. Incorrect. God doesn't change his mind. I see where people do some really creative things to dance around same sex. I see people who claim to be Christians. If maybe there are Christians who have convinced themselves that this is okay, and somehow and they've been taught by others who with devious motives that, and they find verses that, you know, they find a crack in it somehow and they put a spin on it. And it says it as plain as any scripture, and it's still against. So I hear different commentators. This is one guy I listen to, and he's a political commentator, but you know, he claims to be a Christian. He says nothing wrong with it. There's people born the way they are. And I don't care what goes on in the privacy of your own bedroom. By the way, I don't, in the sense of I'm not peeking in people's windows to determine what's going on there. I don't care to that degree. But I reserve the right to believe that that's wrong, and the Bible teaches that. And I'm not going to change my mind about it. Well, I could marry people, and I don't care because, you know, that's got nothing to do with it. No. Let me put it another way. No. No, it's wrong. And, you know, people say, well, it's not the only sin, and they go off on some tangent or something like that. Okay. And someone would say, well, homosexual sin is just as, you know, it's just as bad as, you know, and they, about a guy, and he steals his neighbor's wife, and they, you know, breaks up this family and stuff like this. And they always make this scenario and stuff like that. And, well, what's worse and stuff? Well, they're both bad. They're both they're both out of bounds. And then we'll find some gay person that we're very fond of. And this, somehow we try to bend it to make it all right because we like them. No. No. Now, I'm not going out of my way to poke people in the eye, but I'm sure going to teach what the Bible says. And I'm not going to change my mind about it. When God changes his mind, maybe I'll think about changing my mind. God doesn't change his mind. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast. Now, he talks about same-sex marriage. Now he's off talking about bestiality. I heard Elton John say, I think people should be very free with their sexuality and should only stop at goats. And I always thought, why? I mean, if there's no, you can have sex with men as well as women, along with children or whatever group, why would you stop at goats? Once you move God's ancient boundaries, Where do you set up the new boundary? Why would you set it up at goats? By the way, I'm anti-goat, but I'm anti-same-sex marriage or same-sex relationship, because he's not even talking about here, and he's not talking about lie down. You know, when he's talking about lie with, he's talking, that's a euphemism for sex. Don't lie with any beast. And this is a cat climbs up in a bed and curls up around your feet. That we're not talking about that, okay? Let's read between the lines here. No sex with animals. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand beside a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Hey, one of the reasons you're getting the promised land and they're out is because of these practices. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. It makes me sick. Even the land's sick. The land wants to throw up. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that is sojourning among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. So which one of these practices do the children of Israel not involve themselves in? We don't know. There's no record, I think, in the kings of bestiality, but that would be the only exception I see, because all these, you know, you can think through your mind, you know, offering the children to Molech, homosexuality is in the land, all these things, and I can show you many places in the prophets and different things. For whosoever shall commit it, and by the way, they're abominations. Whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, they're abominable. Even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, cut off, is this killed or is this excommunicated? Well, it seems that the context, you have to read it to determine what, and it's not always very clear. Some persons will say in every situation, this means capital punishment. I'm not sure if that's always the case, and as we go forward, we'll talk about that some more. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Chapter 19, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I the Lord God, your God, I'm holy. Now, Leviticus is the most exciting book in the Bible, most people would think, but it teaches you how to be holy. It teaches the difference between what's right and what's wrong. You know why people in America, in the church, think that homosexuality is okay? Because they're not familiar with Leviticus. That's a problem. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, even Leviticus. Dry mouth. Verse 3, you shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Okay, reverence at home and spiritual reverence as well. That keep my Sabbath. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. If ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, you shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, if aught remain unto the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. So you can eat it the day of the offering, the next day is okay. The third day, no. Burn it with fire. Why is that? Germs. There's no refrigeration. They're in the desert. Remember that. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. Does God really think like, okay, you offered that lamb, and you're having lamb chops. Oh, that's good. I really endorse that. And the second day, you're having some leftover lamb, and that's fine. Third day, all of a sudden, I hate meat eaters, and I think you people are sinning, and it's a hell thing, I'm sure, in my own thinking. God's doing this. Like, a lot of times, you know, we talked about, you know, trichinosis. You know, there was no word for it. You can't read about trichinosis in the Bible, and God says, don't eat pork. Is this God being loving? I think so. And here, I think it's the same thing. If it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Again, is this murder? A capital offense, or is this simply excommunication? Hard to say, right? Okay, now there's some things here, and it doesn't seem to go in any detectable pattern that I can discern. But he covers a lot of things. When ye reap the harvest of the land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field. Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Now, they're in the desert, and they're not gleaning, and they're not harvesting anything. They're collecting manna, okay? He's talking about a future event. And he says, this is how you're going to have fields. You're going to have farms. You're going to grow things. Don't reap the corners of the field, okay? Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Okay, don't pick it right down to the last. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. So what would happen? Well, people would come and they would pick that because they had nothing else to eat. It was, you know, we talk about welfare. This is God's welfare, but it's actually workfare, isn't it? Because they have to go and they have to pick it. I think giving to people is a mistake. My own personal philosophy, that's not who we are. That's not how it doesn't work that way. We can't accept things and not work for them. It doesn't make us the right kind of people. I think that honorable work here and collecting it yourself, like Ruth did, okay, she's in a bad way financially. And she went out and she worked hard. And God blessed that with a tremendous blessing. His name was Boaz, a very wealthy man, and on it goes. But here, I think just like give. Well, what about if the woman couldn't work because she has a young child? I think like women should, who have like children should be. There should be some sort of like. It's hard now because you can't do it because you don't want the government doing it. Government messes up everything and makes everything slow and inefficient. Imagine churches would had situations where they had employment for, you know, women, and they had like someone who could mind their children and they were employing them. And then if, you know, hey, come, your little baby's, hungry and needs to be changed or whatever. And so women could work and earn and of course you'd say, well, that would be very difficult for a woman. Maybe it would teach them not to mess around before and have children out of wedlock, which is not good for the baby, is not good for the mother, is not good for society. I don't know who it is good for. You say, well, at least they had the baby rather than an abortion. Well, yeah, okay. That's right. That's right. But remember, the lesser of two evils is evil. How about, here's an idea, marry well to a man who takes care of you and treats you like the goddess of the whole known universe and takes care of you, and then you have a baby in wedlock, everyone's happy, and the baby is well taken care of. And the baby every night has a mommy and a daddy, and that's the cornerstone for society. You think God might have known that at some point? You think he, you know, read some journals about, you know, and then finally he got on. No, his ideas are always the best. Okay, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Amen. Some things don't need any comment. You shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. How about that withholding? Hey, listen, we have a situation in America that it kind of works out okay. Should your boss write up a paycheck for you every single day? Well, we have situations where it's not really necessary. In that day, in that economy, it kind of was. We had day laborers, and they were, you know, whether the family ate or not, the guy would come home with his day's wage, and away they would go. And if he didn't have that, if the guy said, well, I'll pay you tomorrow, I'll pay you the next day. You know, I was involved in the pregnancy center down here, and we were paying all the time the staff, because I think that's a good and godly thing. We have verses. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. And we have verses like this. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. So another president came in after me, and if he hears this teaching, good. And he's, well, we got to withhold a week, and we got to put, so it's like always, you know, kind of like 2 weeks behind, so you're always getting paid like last week, a week, like, why? Does he have a verse? Well, that's just the way it should be done. Says who? The American tax code or some lazy person who's trying to, listen, if you have a big, big payroll and you're always like 2 weeks behind, guess who's getting all the interest and all that money that's in the bank in those couple of weeks? Not the person to whom it belongs. I think that's a bad idea. Now, I understand that, you know, somehow, sometimes that's how it works. You know, you get your paycheck and it takes a while to process it. I get it. In this economy, you know, at the end of the day, they give them a denarius, a day's wage, right? It wasn't that complicated. There was no withholding, no tax code, no, here's your money. And that was very important to the person. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. Why would you curse the deaf? They can't hear it. Why would you not curse them? They can't hear it anyway, right? That's the point. Who would put a stumbling block before a blind man? Who would do that? I don't know. Some crazy person thinks that's funny. I think America does puts stumbling blocks before the blind all the time. I call it the news. But let's move on. We shouldn't stay there very long. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. How about unrighteous judgment? Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor. Well, we're going to favor this because somebody's poor. We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt over the rich guy. No. The person of the mighty, but in righteousness, you don't honor one over the other. You know, the Republicans are blamed for, you know, being the party of the well-heeled. You know, they're about big business. And the Democrat is a champion of the little man, or so it's said. So it's said. You're not supposed to be champion of anybody. There's no respecter of persons with God. And, you know, I listen to all this rhetoric. Oh, we gotta tax the rich. Well, that's abominable. No, equal. Because that's what the Bible says. We gotta penalize people for achievement. The Bible knows nothing of that. So these modern-day Robin Hoods, hey, listen, I got news for you. One, Robin Hood is a fictional character. Two, he was a thief. You ever hear, you know, the subtitle of the book of Robin Hood, The Prince of Thieves? Okay, just, you know, just that's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong here. You don't judge one over the other. It's equality. Thou shalt not go up. And remember, God's not a respecter of persons. Thou shalt not go up. And by the way, while I'm on the subject, he cares about poor people. He already gave them provision, right? It's not that he's in, and many times he says, you know, I want you to give to the poor. If you give to the poor, you're loaning to me. You're not giving to me, you're loaning to me. I know how to pay my debts. Think of that next time you give to the poor. But it's not, and Jesus says you can give to the poor anytime you want. Me, you don't always have. You always have the poor. Isn't that a reproach to us? You're always going to have the poor. Is that because people are always going to make themselves poor, or that we haven't done enough on that their behalf? God doesn't want us to not give to the poor. He doesn't want it to be a government agency. He wants us to be equitable. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. You're not going to gossip. I don't want that, God says. And he has many times he says this. I think there's people who have been decimated by gossip. That's unacceptable. What is this? Thou shalt not stand against the blood of thy neighbor. You're not going to be a talebearer. You're not going to say this and this and this and this. What if somebody is put to death because you said you saw them being committed adultery? So my girlfriend gets rid of me and says, I'm not interested in you anymore. And so she goes off with some other guy. And I get crazy jealous. And so I say, oh, yeah, they're committing adultery. And so they're both stoned. You can't do that. You can't stand against the blood of thy neighbor. And I think that's what's being said here. And it goes on with bearing false witness, etc., etc. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Look at this is in the Old Testament, loving your neighbor as yourself. You're not going to hate your brother in your heart, verse 17. We're not going to leave it at that. In verse 18, we go, you're not only not going to hate him, you're going to love him. It sounds very New Testament. It sounds like something John would write. No, it's God's always been the same, right? I had to get moving. I'm not going to finish what I want tonight. I want to get all the way through chapter 20. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gendereth with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. No mixing. Okay? Some people use this verse about mixed marriages. And what they're talking about is like black people marrying white people. No, I don't think they're not diverse kind. They're not woolen and linen, okay? We're not breeding like, you know, pork and sheep or together or anything like that. People are against interracial marriage. There's only the human race. That's all there is, okay? I don't think that loans itself to that, but let's keep moving. Whosoever lieth carnally with a woman, that is a bondmaid, betrothed to an husband, and not at all redeemed. Okay, she's not free, okay? Nor freedom given her. She shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free, okay? It's not like adultery. She didn't really have all that say. Did she cry out rape or nothing? Well, obviously she's being scourged because there's guilt here. Apparently this is consensual to some degree. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. The priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord. For his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. And when you shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, okay, good enough, right? You're going to come in, you're going to be agricultural. And you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. How do you have uncircumcised fruit? It's not holy to the Lord is the idea. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. So you take the fourth year's produce and you give it to the Lord, right? And in the fifth year, verse 25, shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof, for I am the Lord your God. Isn't that a strange thing? What does it mean? I don't know. Of course, would they follow it? Well, hopefully. You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. Okay, we can't eat anything with the blood, and we've already encountered that, no question. Neither shall use enchantment. Now, that's different. Okay? No sorcery. Nor observe times. You can't have a wristwatch. No, it's talking about astrology there. You shall not round the corners of your heads. Neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. This is talking about hairstyles and haircuts. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Now, so they would cut themselves for the dead, and sometimes tattoos were involved. That's marks upon you. And some people say, well, see, you can't get tattoos. And they use this verse. I don't think it's exactly saying that. I'm not really pro-tattoo or anti-tattoo. I think at some point you're going to say, gee, what did I do? You know what I mean? I would have tattoos if they were less permanent. You know, you see the one, Norman Rockwell, and you see the guy in the chair in the tattoo parlor, and he's a sailor, and it says Mary, and it's scratched out, and it says Jane, and it's scratched out, and it says Beth, and it's scratched out. And he's got like his fourth one. I think about that sometimes, like, you know, you really want to your whole life. Well, I'm committed to the Lord, and I want a Bible verse that says this and this. I can't look at a verse and say this is absolutely wrong. I always think, like, if God wanted you to have that mark, he would have gave it to you from birth. You say, well, this is my devotion to the Lord. Well, if that's the person's heart, you know, let that be between them and God. Because some people come to me and they've asked me in the past about that and, you know, what I think. And, you know, it's only going to be preference. And if people ask my opinion, I don't mind giving them my opinion. But my opinion is like everybody else's opinion, right? If I get verses, well, say this is a verse. Well, if you feel like this says that to you, don't do it. Don't ever transgress your conscience. You're going to be needing that later on. Don't go against it. I don't think this is specifically. I think it's talking about don't mark your flesh for the dead. Don't make cuttings on your flesh for the dead. That's a kind of a Canaanite kind of thing. Don't do that. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Why would you do that? Some cultures do. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Familiar spirits, yeah. So you go into this seance or something, and this lady, you know, because you want to communicate with your dead aunt Jane, and how is it over there, and, you know, and so you have a familiar spirit comes up, and she knows your Aunt Jane, by the way. She can the spirit can imitate your Aunt Jane, and people are fooled by that. Christians should never be involved in that, even a little bit. I've heard so many stories about, yeah, well, I contacted and reached out, and you know, this lady told me things that only my Aunt Jane could know. I'm thinking, you're a nitwit. Why'd you get involved in that? So you were lied to by a demon who didn't never tell the truth. Now you don't even believe in God anymore because you're involved in that silly stuff. Don't do it. It's really such a bad idea. You don't regard them that have familiar spirits. You don't seek after wizards because it's a defiling experience. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. So we have honor among the old. This is the most strangest verse in America ever. Old people, we shut them up in homes and shut up, you're old, you're stupid, you don't know anything. And old people, for their part, are really ridiculous because they try to act young. So they try to fit in and act cool. They say, listen here, you whippersnapper. I've lived five of your lifetimes. Let me tell you how it really is. Oh, no. Oh, no. I give my mom grief all the time. Your generation has let us down. The greatest generation? Not so much. Where are they? How come they're not calling us back to righteousness? You know, like grandmothers nowadays, oh, you know, the kids, and they live together and stuff, and it's all cool. Everything's okay. And my granddaughter's dating another woman, but hey, who am I to judge? And I think, like, wow. We're supposed to honor the ones who are older, and the older ones who have lived a long time with the Lord are supposed to be our leaders. And I think neither one of those things are happening. But that's my view. If a stranger sojourn with thee in the land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be as one as born among you. Thou shalt love him as thyself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Should we open our borders to everybody? You know, I wouldn't even mind so much if we didn't try to give them everything. Here in ancient Israel, people came among them and lived. They saw that God was blessing and stuff. They said, I want part. I want to be part of that. Don't run them off. Don't treat them poorly. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measured. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Many times he says, a just balance, a just weight. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments to do them. I am the Lord. You don't observe them to observe them, you observe them to do them. Chapter 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The death of thy, the people of the land shall stone him with stone. You say, well, it already said not to give your children to Molech. Now he's saying this is the penalty if they do, okay? And much of this has to do with penalty. I will set my face against that man. I will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Don't you do that. And if the people of the land do any way hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. Look, not only can't you do it, when somebody else does it, you better blow the whistle. You better speak up and say, no, that's unset, but he's my neighbor. He's a good guy. No, he's not a good guy. He's sacrificed his child to a demon god. Two, he's defiling the land. No, I want this, let this note to the point where I'm holding the second generation, so to speak, the witness of it, who turned a blind eye and said, it's none of my business. Who am I to judge? I'm telling you who you are. You can't do that. I'm going to be against that guy. I'm going to be against you for ratting him out. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Is that capital crime also? I think so. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. In you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Or sanctify, set apart for a holy purpose. Now listen. Set apart. We're not supposed to be like everyone else. For everyone that curseth, verse 9, his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. So you say a swear in front of your mom, you go to hell. That's not what it means when he says curse. Damn you is kind of the idea. I hope you go to hell is kind of the idea when you're talking about cursing somebody. You don't do that to your mom or to your dad. Why? They gave you birth. Well, Dad wasn't all that good. He was kind of psychotic and crazy and absent and everything else. But you don't curse him. That's what it says. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, and he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Okay? This is consensual. Well, they're not hurting anybody. God says, yeah, they're hurting two families. Death. shall be put to death. And the man that, Adam, you believe this should still go on? You know, a lot of these things with making America a greater country, it's kind of hard, you know. We live in a land where we let people worship whoever they want to worship. And you kind of have to do that. So when the person, you know, if, I believe in freedom of speech. I really, when you have the choice between hate speech and free speech, take free speech. Who are you to tell me what hate speech is? That's the part that always irritates me. So if I say the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong, now I'm involved in hate speech. Well, I don't hate anybody. You're ridiculous. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to take away my free speech. And the same thing with, like, well, we should make whoever's in president, we have to follow after his religion. Well, that's ridiculous. And so the last guy was a Muslim, so we all had to be Muslim. No. No. Throw me in jail. Tie me to the stake. Cut my head off now. No. No. I know enough about the Muslim guy. I want nothing to do with him. So what, the next guy is going to be an atheist. I got to be atheist? No. No, we have freedom of religion here. It's hard. Should adultery be punishable by law? Yes. Murder? Well, I'm not trying to go against God, but what happens here in Israel, what happens here in 21st century in America, I mean, think it all the way through. It's not an exact easy, well, the Bible says so. Yeah, the Bible says don't suffer a witch to live. So your next door neighbor's doing conjuring, and so you just go in there with a machine gun, level the place, and I did the will of God, right? And you go to jail for a long, long time. It's hard to enforce what was enforced on Israel in America in the 21st century. The man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So the Bible calls for the death of homosexuals. Yes. Yes. Is that what you want, Adam? No, it's not what I want. That's not even a good question. Clearly is what the Bible says. Now, should we enforce that again in America? It should be against the law. I'll say that. I don't think there's any benefit to society whatsoever. And society is built up of families. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they. All three of them, right? That there be no wickedness among you. Now, again, this is the, we said these things were wrong, and now God's saying, okay, and this is the punishment. And this is the capital punishment chapter, okay? If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and he shall slay the beast, okay? If a woman approach there unto any beast and lie down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. So it's wrong with men, it's wrong with women. If a man shall take his sister, isn't this very edifying stuff? We don't even like to think about this, do we? But again, we have to, because the Bible says, but it would never come up, Adam. That's the problem. When Susan was in the Maine State Legislature, there was a guy who wanted to marry his dog, a guy from, was it Parkman? He confused a marriage license and a dog license. He just got him confused. License in his mind just meant marriage, and so that's what his whole problem was. And you say, not really. Yeah, would to God that it weren't so. And it was. And he came and testified about, and he was, I don't even, but, you know, if people didn't get themselves into these predicaments, the Bible wouldn't have anything to say about it. If a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it's a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. Again, is this death? Because it specifically says here death, and then it says cut off from among his people. It sounds like banishment or, you know, excommunication. I don't know. That would be my take. If a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness and shall uncover her nakedness. He hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Again, I would say, if I were to be, you know, be pressed into a decision, I would say this is talking about excommunication. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he that uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. Now, how does that work? It's a judgment by God. And so we see, sometimes we see childlessness in Scripture, and people say, oh, see, that's a judgment of God. And that's where I think, you know, this verse and ones like this kind of loan itself to that. Now, it doesn't say that everyone who isn't able to have children, it's because they slept with their aunt. But that's the extrapolation. You see what I'm saying? You know, you remember what it says when Michal mocks David for worshiping for the Lord, and then she had no children after that. Is that because there was no opportunity for her to have children because David avoided her like a plague, which would seem to me to be the natural progression of things? Or was it a supernatural judgment that she was never able to bear after that? I will say this. Yeah, mock people who are worshipped, that's very fruitless. If you catch my pun, let's keep moving. If man shall take his brother's wife, again, accepting the Levirate marriage, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. And again, the same thing, if you ask me. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land where I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. You shall not walk in the manners of the nations. This is the whole book of Leviticus in this verse. You shall not walk in the manner of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. Don't be like that. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Blessing and blessing. Okay? Honey, that means there's bees and there's pollination, and your farms are going to be very successful. Milk means prosperity. Your livestock will, you'll be able to, they'll be flowing, okay? They'll be blessing. Prosperity, I think, is the idea. You do things my way, there'll be prosperity. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. And I don't think we understand that all the time. God has separated us from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl. Is he talking about lying down with? I think here he's just talking about consuming. Or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy, and have served you, severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Again, if you want to sum up the book of Leviticus in a verse, you shall be holy unto me. I've severed you. I've cut you off. I've made a distinction. Sanctified you. There's a difference between you and other people. A man also, or woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, conjurer is the idea. What about magic? Magic tricks? That's an illusionist. That's an entertainer. And I think the entertainment is fun. I don't think he's talking about that. He's talking about, you remember, it's Janice and Jambres. They did real magic. They did, it wasn't a sleight of hand trick. They did some stuff, and God said they ought not. A man also, a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them.